Hello and welcome to the Voices of Santa Barbara radio program. I'm your host, Scott Stapleton from the Santa Barbara News Press, inviting you to stay tuned to today's conversation with Matt Dyes, father of Mallory Dyes, and investigative journalist Peter Lance. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you for having us.
This is an incredibly big week, kind of culminating a tragic loss in your family. Raymond Victor Morrow on Tuesday pleaded guilty to charges involving the death, the hit-and-run death of your daughter. You were in the courtroom for that hearing?
Yes, I was. It was incredibly tough, really hard to be in the room and hear the voice of the man that killed my child. It was a very emotional moment for me, hearing him say guilty. That guilty is, again, guilty of killing my beautiful daughter.
Not everybody takes the route that he took. Are you surprised that it has sort of ended the way it ended?
You know, Scott, we had some idea that this is how it was going to play out, from statements Mr. Jenness had made in the press about Mr. Marua being ready to take responsibility for what he did. At least somebody involved in this is taking responsibility for what has happened. There's other people that are trying to dodge responsibility. And I think that's a sad statement on American politics today.
Yeah. We're going to get to those people. Peter Lance, you in the last few days the news press has published what is the beginning of an extensive series, a well-researched series on Raymond Marua, on Mallory Dyes, and on people behind the scenes and not so behind the scenes, people that whose names are familiar to everybody probably listening to this show, who tried to intervene on Raymond's behalf, and then when it appeared that Mallory was not going to survive this, turned on him and the efforts that they've gone to protect him. Right. Tell us some of the things that you uncovered.
Well, you know, I heard about this in, about 2 days after it happened. I got a call from Daryl Jenness, and my daughter's name, I have a middle daughter, Mallory Lance, who graduated from Columbia University. She's 25, and she works one night a week as a bartender. She's actually the program operations director for the Tribeca Film Festival, but she's young, and, you know, it's practically an NGO. So she's a bartender. When I heard this, I said, oh, my God. If I ever got that call, I cannot imagine what her parents are going through. So I just started kicking over rocks and looking into it. And what I uncovered was shocking. And I want to say that I said this in the first day. I voted for Lois Capps. I've been a Democrat. I'm not a political conservative. It's not about politics. It's about uncovering the truth. And that's what the series is about.
You have uncovered some truths, not only about Raymond Marua, but also even Lois Capps' staff.
Right.
Some of the things that they've done.
Yeah, it's actually quite shocking. What I found, and this will be detailed, I believe, today in the news press article today, which will be part four, was that in the initial days, as Matt alluded to, and right now Mrs. Capps is claiming, well, Raymond was not working for us the night of the Santa Barbara Independent Party, where he drank six vodkas, et cetera, and then went out and proceeded to kill Mallory Dyes. He wasn't working for us. He was, in legal terms, it's a frolic of his own. He was on his own. And that the consequence of her taking that position is that Mr. Dyes and his wife, and if they ever hope to have any financial recovery, and they intend to use the funds, by the way, for the benefit of Santa Barbara, they're going to be precluded because the House Counsel has agreed with Lois Capps and they're circling the wagons. So I decided to look into whether or not Raymond was, in fact, on the job. And one of the things I found shocking was that in the first few days after the arrest, not only did Judge George C. Eskin, a retired Superior Court judge, but he went back on the bench, took his oath on December 2nd, he helped to get Raymond a lawyer. And there was a scheme was concocted. I can't tie Judge Eskin to the scheme, but the scheme right. was certainly concocted by Molly Culver, the district director for Lois Capps' office in Santa Barbara. Molly Culver came up with this plan or to try to execute this plan wherein they would get Raymond out on bail and they'd get him into a federal treatment facility in L.A., get him on a dodge, if you will, you know? And they thought that was their way, in my opinion, of damage control. Mallory was still living. They actually, I think, thought they could, you know, eventually survive this. And what happened was, as late as the 9th and 10th, Molly Culver, on the 9th, fills out two federal VA forms, one to release his medical records and one to get veterans benefits federally funded at this treatment facility, New Directions in L.A. She forges Raymond's name twice on the first document and another time on the second. She faxes in the first document and then meets with Mr. Maria's unwitting fiance, Teresa, who wants to help her. Fiance is just an innocent person and says, you know, we hear that they may take Mallory off life support in the next 12 to 24 hours. We need you to send this into the VA. So she suborns this innocent woman into committing a crime. And so then as soon as Mallory was taken off life support at 3:15 on the afternoon of the 11th, they suddenly, it's like the scene from Casablanca. I'm shocked. There's gambling going on. You're winning, sir. You know, it's like, oh, he wasn't working for us. He wasn't. Well, if he wasn't, and they even put out the false statement that he was fired on the 8th, Sunday, and I know he was paid through the 10th. So by Lois Capps embracing him initially as a staff member and going to extraordinary lengths with various officials in town and others to get him essentially special treatment, they're now denying him and denouncing him.
And you know, Lois Capps, you've put in numerous attempts to get comment from, right, Lois Capps.
From Lois, from Chris Marr, her press secretary, who, you know, there's so many degrees, a few degrees of separation here, because he used to be a crime reporter for The Independent. I uncovered texts between Raymond, the night Raymond and his girlfriend, I'm meeting Chris at 7:03 p.m. the night of The Independent party. By the way, I traced Raymond's entire day from December 5th. From the moment he woke up, he had been quoted a couple of, that morning in The Independent online, and they, you know, they throw the paper out, they put it out on the Thursday morning. And he basically was quoted in an article about the controversy at the Veterans Building. And, you know, because he was ubiquitous when it came to appearing for Lois Capps.
He was the point guy on Veterans Affairs.
He was her go-to guy, Scott. So, and also, he appeared for her so many times, including he would walk next to her with a Captain America shield in the 4th of July parade and the Veterans Parade. He spoke at Santa Barbara Community College in her absence for Veterans Day. He was even, ironically, at a law enforcement press conference with Joyce Dudley, the DA, and Hannah Beth Jackson, who's married to Judge Eskin, on August 16th, promoting safe driving over the Labor Day weekend. Okay? He was Lois's guy. So the irony of that is just staggering, and now they cut him loose, and the Dyes family is left twisting in the wind.
Peter, we're getting close to a break. Let me ask you. You were also in the hearing in the courtroom when Raymond entered his plea. You've seen lots of people enter pleas, appear in court hearings. How did he strike you as a frequent court observer?
He's just a unique character. I couldn't really see his demeanor because he was facing the judge. He did seem emotional. Whether those emotions were for his own benefit or for the family, I don't know. But he's got at least 17 years to turn his life around in jail, to be free of alcoholism. Maybe he'll become a jailhouse lawyer. He showed a lot of promise over the years. He has this dark side, but he showed tremendous promise once he got out of the military. So if he fulfills that promise in jail and becomes a model prisoner, this could be his epiphany.
Any supporters there?
Tremendous.
For him?
Oh, for him, yeah. His family, his brother, his stepfather, Albert, his mother, Rose, and Teresa Montoya, his incredibly loyal fiance.
And what was their demeanor
just
throughout
when
the hearing?
When they walked out, they just looked like all the life had been drained out of them, frankly. Because it was their resolution for them as well. The final them kind of having to accept this.
You're listening to The Voices of Santa Barbara with Scott Stapleton at KZSB AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be back with more from Matt Dyes and Peter Lance after these messages. Voices of Santa Barbara at KZSB AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. I'm Scott Stapleton with a reminder that this program will be rebroadcast tonight at 8 and Sunday at 10 a.m. My guests today are Matt Dyes, father of Mallory Dyes, and Peter Lance. And we're talking about the tragic death of Mallory Dyes, the person who has admitted responsibility for the events leading to her death. Matt, you were in the courtroom when Raymond Marua entered his guilty plea. The family of, or the people surrounding him, struck you how?
They were very somber. I do want to say this, as they were leaving the courtroom, Teresa Montoya looked up at me, locked eyes, and mouthed the words, "I'm so sorry." And
Teresa is Raymond's fiance.
That is correct. Yeah. And I do appreciate that, because I could tell it was heartfelt. She was in tears, crying for the whole situation as well.
Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about Raymond. I want to find out who your daughter was, who Mallory was. Take us back. Take us, well, you know.
Mallory was an amazing, special, precocious young woman. She started talking, and I always joke, she started talking at 8 months and never shut up. Very gifted in school. You know, when she was in fifth grade, she used to do her homework and then read two Goosebumps books. Then she began writing her own scary stories and charging the other kids at school 25 cents to read them. So she was entrepreneurial as well. She went from there to a fundamental based, not fundamentalist based, but reading, writing, building blocks based intermediate school. And she was voted best looking in her class. She's a very beautiful girl. And a cute little family story. My oldest son, Matthew, had also been voted best looking in her class. So she turns and looks at her little brother, Michael, and says, "You know, if you don't win this award, we might have to kick you out of the family." From there, she went on to Santiago High School. You know, she achieved her goal of going to prom all 4 years. That was her big high school goal. On the more serious side of her high school goals, UC Santa Barbara was always her number one choice. She did the AP courses, did all of those things to make that possible. Mm-hmm. You know, she had a very active social life. She was a cheerleader. Another real story that makes me very proud about her is not all the students in the AP courses are always the most popular kids on campus. And she was talking with a couple of her AP friends who might have been considered kind of nerdy. And a couple of the cheerleaders came by and said, "Mallory, what are you doing talking to them?" And she snaps at them and goes, "They're smart, and I like them." And I was just, as a dad, I was so proud that she would stand up to the social queen bees and say, "I like these people because they're smart." And, you know, as dad, that made me very proud.
And she was a double major at UCSB, and she took extra courses in the summer to achieve that, right?
Absolutely did. She took her bachelor's in law society and history, completed both in 4 years, which, again, as dad, I'm very proud. You know, before the tragedy, she was preparing to go back to school to get a teacher's credential. And her eventual plan was to become a professor, get the PhD and become a professor. One of the brightest, smartest, most well-read people that you could imagine. You know, to dad's chagrin, she was on the same side of the political aisle as Peter here. I grew up in Orange County. Okay. Mallory and I agreed on everything except politics. And
boy, what were those conversations like?
Oh, they were battles. And mom would get upset, but she didn't. You know, Mallory and I loved each other dearly, but we were just had different beliefs politically.
Now, did mom have to be the peacekeeper?
She would just tell us both to shut up. And, you know, being Mama Bear, we would just listen because we, you know what? She's the queen of the house.
Yeah. We see the pictures of her. She's got this beautiful permeating smile. What was there a joy in Mallory? You know,
you know, Scott, she lit up any room she entered. I think that buoyant personality is why we've seen such overwhelming response here in the Santa Barbara community. She was very well loved and very well known in the service industry in downtown. But even after this, I've had so many people either contact me online or run into me here in person in town and say, I didn't know Mallory, but I had friends that knew her, and I wish I would have got to know her before this happened, because she had to be amazing. She was.
Real quick on that note, Scott, I'm sorry. I went to the memorial service, and I've been a journalist 35 years. I've covered funerals and you name it. I've never seen so many. There were hundreds and hundreds of people, each of whom had personal contact with Mallory and a personal story. How often does that in the life of a 27-year-old happen? It was extraordinary. And Matt Dyes got up, and he spoke for about 15 minutes. I was amazed he could get one sentence out, and he was like a rock. And it's a testament. I mean, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So obviously the strength that he and his wife had was in the daughter. And just I was amazed at that service.
Mm-hmm. Matt, how does you say you're from Orange County. How does a dad from Orange County where does a dad from Orange County look at that moment when he has to say, I have to take my daughter off life support?
I just want to kind of correct a technicality.
Okay.
Here. Okay. The neurological test was done the 11th at just prior to 3:15, at which point she was declared brain dead. She was kept on life support for 3 more days so we could get her lungs and other organs and get the recipients all ready for their surgeries. For the organ donation through One Legacy. I think that's a very important message. Dad wants to get out here, mm-hmm. too. If you haven't done that, get that done on your driver's license.
It's the pink dot. I mean, it's the little pink. And it's not even a sticker anymore. It comes right on your driver's license.
Absolutely, Scott. And you know what? I take some solace that Mallory's life saved 5 other families. Okay, children 2 and 5 received her kidneys. A direct donation of somebody through my sister, a young man, 28-year-old father of 2, received her liver. Her heart and lungs saved an 18-year-old girl and a 47-year-old father, respectively. I've never saved 5 lives in my life. What Mallory's last gift is something truly incredible and amazing, and again, makes me so darn proud as a father.
Was it just science and was it just medicine that really said this is the decision we have to make?
Yes. The lack of oxygen caused by the damage to the carotid arteries in the accident caused brain damage that was going to be unrecoverable. I would not take that vibrant person and have Mallory be a vegetable. She would never want that. I would never want that. I can't imagine any parent wanting that for their child. At some point, I just had to say to her, it's okay. We got to let go.
It brings tears to the eye even of somebody who doesn't have a child, who doesn't know the love of a child, to hear someone, you know, have to go through that. Incredible. You're listening to The Voices of Santa Barbara with Scott Stapleton at KZSB AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be back with more from Matt Dyes and Peter Lance right after these messages. Welcome back to Voices of Santa Barbara at KZSB AM 1290, the News Press radio station. This is your host, Scott Stapleton, with a reminder that this program will be rebroadcast tonight at 8 and Sunday at 10 a.m. My guests today are Matt Dyes, father of Mallory Dyes, and investigative journalist Peter Lance. Matt, you have taken Mallory's life and her tragic death and turned it into a legacy that is going to benefit a lot of people. It's called the Val for Mal Foundation.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And it's Val for the number 4mal.org. The foundation does what?
Well, Scott, what we're working on is implementing some protocols, starting here in Santa Barbara, in particular the downtown area, where there is a problem with drinking and driving. And our goal is to eliminate the excuses. That's one of the tight focus group of Mallory's closest and dearest friends that are really the impetus behind this. Came up with that slogan, and what we're talking about is, why do people drink and drive? Oh, it's not that far. Oh, I've only had a couple. Oh, I need my car in the morning.
I've done it 100 times before. Why not do it again?
Right. Okay. Because all it takes is that once. I actually used this example to combat that, hey, I've done it 100 times before. If I handed you a gun and said there's one bullet in it, and I told you I want you to shoot it through this wall, there may or may not be somebody on the other side, but you probably won't hit him anyway. Are you pulling that trigger? No, of course not. And that's what we're doing when we drink and drive. Yes, the chances are slight, but really, are you willing to take that chance? Or do you care that little about fellow humanity that you're willing to risk not only yours, but some innocent person like my daughter's life, so you're not inconvenienced?
And the foundation is going to help people stay off the road?
Help
them educate?
One of the first programs that we're going to be bringing here to town is called Be the DD and Win. It was started by a wonderful woman named Kim Fields in Ventura, and it's been operating in Ventura, Camarillo, and Thousand Oaks. And the incidence of alcohol-related accidents have decreased significantly. Don't hold me to dead numbers on all these terms, but I'm pretty sure in Ventura it was a 37% reduction in the first year that this program was in effect. We expect to probably within the next 60 days be rolling that here in downtown. One of the other things we're going to be doing...
And in Ventura, the signs out on Main Street, they put big, huge, kind of those rolling signs that say, be the DD and win. I mean, they get it out there.
Yeah.
And part of this is you get prizes, you get offers from various eateries and whatnot.
Yeah, they have like a group of young, vibrant people in... Coincidentally, their color is yellow, just like our Mallory color. And they go around to the different venues that they plan this beforehand.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it's Tonic and O'Malley's and whoever's. And they go to those places and the designated drivers get wristbands. And they come and they pump them all up and say, hey, great work. And they come back at the end of the night and have grand prize awards. You know, it could be a weekend for two somewhere or... you know, dinner and a concert. I mean, they're really, really nice prizes. And it's a way to say thank you to the people that are out there taking care of their friends.
Mm-hmm.
They're showing love and saving lives. So that's what we want to do. That's the big message we want to take out there.
And also, you're going to be able to give a car, or, I don't mean give a car, but you're going to be able to have a car at the ready perhaps the following morning
yes.
if somebody's been doing too much drinking?
That's one of the things that we're also putting together right now. We've got volunteers at the ready. We have to coordinate a little bit. I'm learning that these things don't happen overnight, as impatient as I may want to be. But there's a lot of coordination with the city and with county people and so forth to make sure that you're doing this all in the best way so that this will last. We don't want this here today, gone tomorrow. I want Mallory's legacy to last a long, long time. So yes, what will happen is whether they take a Lucky or Rockstar or they go home with Uber, they'll get a little ticket from us, and we will come and go out to IV or up into Goleta or down south and bring them back to their car in the morning. Guess what? That excuse is gone now too. All right, let's be safe.
And that is that website is Val Formal, V-A-L, the number four.
No, Val, as in take a vow.
Val,
V-O-W,
number four, mal.org.
Yes.
Okay. And you're taking contributions now, or stage are you at?
We work under the aegis of Santa Barbara Foundation. So we are a sub-fund in the foundation. So any donation would go to Santa Barbara Foundation / Val for Mal.
Okay.
Again, Santa Barbara Foundation has been awesome for us. It's kept us from having to create our own charitable organization. Mm-hmm. This allows donors to receive the tax breaks and so forth that we would have had to spend 18 months and tens of thousands of dollars to put together. So not only that, they've provided us access to key people in the city and the county. I'm so pleased to be working with them. And Jan and Ashley and Al, if you're hearing this, I love you guys. You're awesome.
And again, that's VOW, the number four, Mal, MAL.org. Why yellow? Was yellow
Mallory's
her color?
Favorite color. Uh-huh. Mallory's favorite color. And it makes sense because of the sunshine she brought to everybody's life.
What is that that yellow article or that yellow item or whatever it might be that you cherish most that she had?
You know, there's several things. We have a little shrine to Mallory at the house with lots of yellow in it, and pictures, and unfortunately an urn. Pictures of her, pictures of us, pictures of the people she loved here. And it's consoling. You feel her presence there. You feel that love. And that's a good thing. You know, Scott, we all leave this earth at some time. And Mallory obviously left too soon. But in 27 years, she touched more lives than people do it in a full lifetime of three times that amount. If we can all do that and all make the world better, that's impressive. And what I said to several of the friends is, you know, with Mallory gone, we all got a lot of work to do to pick up the slack. And that's what we're trying to do.
What lesson did you learn from your daughter?
Well, I'll tell you something. When they were having the Blush event, which was one of the very first fundraisers, what amazed me is that some of the homeless population here in Santa Barbara were coming up and putting their coins or their wrinkled up dollar in there. And I found out why. Mallory used to go out and bring water from Tonic to these people, bring meals to these people, give them money, and show them that she knows their people. They're not just debris downtown. They're human beings with hearts and souls and lives and probably lost promise.
Did you know that
before? I really, Scott, did not know this until after, honestly. And I was just so darn impressed. Mm-hmm. And it's changed my attitude towards people in the street. I try and help whenever I can.
Good. You're listening to The Voices of Santa Barbara with Scott Stapleton at KZSB AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be back with more from Matt Dyes and Peter Lance after these messages. You're listening to The Voices of Santa Barbara with Scott Stapleton at KZSB AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We're going to go to Peter Lance. Peter, there are a lot of unanswered questions in this tragic incident. You have tried to answer some of them in your series so far in the news press. Even when that series is over, there's still going to be many, many questions remaining. Where do you, as a questioner, go from here, see this going from here?
Well, first of all, it would be nice if Lois Capps acknowledged or at least reacted to the allegations that have been set forth in the series, of which there are a number. Why did her district director Molly Capps go to this extraordinary length to try and get Raymond out of jail and into a federally funded facility at a time she later claimed he'd been fired? Why, answer that one, Representative Capps. Why the VA has circled the wagons on this in my inquiry with the VA. First, Craig Lee, LEA, who's a reentry specialist with the VA's Desert Pacific Network in Long Beach, he was the go-to person that Molly Culver had suggested that Teresa Montoya fax this application for medical benefits to. So I called him thinking, I'm sure Molly didn't pick his name out of a hat of all the hundreds of VA workers in LA. And he said initially to me, Peter, I will talk to you, but I need Raymond to sign a release, acknowledging that, I was even involved in his case. He faxed me the release that afternoon. Daryl Jenis took it to the jail the next day. Raymond signed it. The following Monday, Craig said, listen, I'll be busy for a few days, but I'll get back to you. And then I got no comment. Then I got, we're denying you an interview with him. And it's just been a stonewall. I just found out, and this is going to be in tomorrow's piece, that on April 4th, he drove all the way up from Long Beach to the jail to meet with Raymond and showed him the forms. And Raymond said, that's not my signature.
These are the forms that somebody else had signed.
Somebody else, Molly Culver, I believe, absolutely Molly Culver, signed them and put Raymond's name. One of those forms is to release his health records to Lois Capps Santa Barbara office. Now, if you know anything about HIPAA, any doctor will tell you can have severe criminal and civil penalties for releasing a person's medical records without their approval, number
one. Even to a family member.
Even to a family member, right.
Let alone a politician.
Yeah, let alone a politician. And then the other form, the application for veterans benefits, on the top of the form says, punishable by up to 5 years in prison for any material misstatement of fact. Well, Molly Culver is literally in blue ink filling out the application, putting Raymond's home address, and under home telephone, she puts her number to call as if she's connected to Raymond. So
these are some of the things that you've
found out
through your investigation.
And this guy, Craig Lee, then comes up, I find out last night, to visit Raymond on the 4th, and he asks him to authenticate. And Raymond said, I signed the latest release because I want you to talk about this to the media, to Peter Lance and to Daryl Jenis, his lawyer, but I certainly didn't sign the other two. So point being, that's another unanswered question. The third unanswered question.
And again, let me point out here, you have made attempts not only to Ms. Culver, not only to Lois Capps, several other people, to put these questions, to get answers to these, to get comment to these questions, apparently nothing.
Yeah, in fact, the day I called Craig Lee, about an hour later, I called Molly Culver. She picked up the phone, because I have her number because it's on the application. And she picked up the phone, and I said, Molly, and I told her very briefly, and she said, I've been advised by House Counsel not to talk. Boom, slammed the phone. Then I followed up with an email with 13 detailed questions. Nothing. I then sent Lois Capps detailed questions to her website, to Chris Marr, her press secretary. I followed up multiple times. And now, but here's the third unanswered question. Mary Beth Walker, the House counsel. Robert Stoll, who's the attorney for Mr. and Mrs. Dyes, served a notice of a potential claim on the 18th of December to John Boehner, Speaker of the House, that we may be suing.
A federal claim.
Federal claim under the Federal Tort Claims Act. On the theory, in the law, I have a law degree, I don't practice it, don't hold it against me. There's an ancient doctrine called respondeat superior, and it says, a master or mistress in this case is liable for any torts or injuries committed by their servant, Mr. Marua in this case, in the course and furtherance of their duty, unless they're on a frolic of their own. It's like old English law. Well, I documented meticulously in the second part that Raymond, from the moment he got up in that morning, not just through the Independent Party, but he went to a tobacco lounge next door where he's interacting with a veteran, Paul Weakland, who had a case in front of Lois Capps, and Raymond was helping him. So 45 minutes before that crash, I've got Raymond on the job, okay? And now Lois Capps denying that. So Mary Beth Walker, the House counsel, sends a letter to Matt Dye's son, Matthew, a partner in his firm, on the 23rd of December saying, we're representing Lois Capps and her staff, but we take the position that in all relevant times, Raymond Merule was there of his own volition. Okay? So then, now this is the key to the cover-up story, which is going to be part five on Thursday. A letter goes to Joyce Dudley, the district attorney of Santa Barbara, on the 2nd of January from Mary Beth Walker. And she is talking about the search warrant that was executed on the 13th by J.C. Hunter, detective, lead detective. And then she says,
Santa Barbara Police.
And she said, we object to any further searches. And then she says, by the way, there were two cell phones seized that night. Raymond had a personal iPhone 3S and an iPhone 4 from the office, from Lois's office. And there's tons and tons of texts on both of those phones that document Raymond on the job, okay? She says, Mary Beth Walker, there's sensitive official information. I'm quoting specifically, sensitive official information on that phone that we would ask you to segregate from the phone. Now, as a looking at that, it's hard to not see that as evidence tampering, as asking the DA to cleanse or sanitize those phones to help their legal civil position that he wasn't on the job. So I go to Lois Joyce Dudley, email her. To her credit, next day she sends me an astonishing email, and here's the email, almost verbatim. She goes, Dear Peter, to my knowledge, there has been no attempt by my office to do anything to compromise the cell phone. I cannot speak, however, for what the Santa Barbara Police Department may have done in the past or may do in the future. Now, anybody that knows anything about the law knows that in any jurisdiction, the district attorney is the boss, and the police basically adhere to the district attorney specifically on chains of evidence custody. When you have evidence, you have to keep it inviolate, right? So here's the DA almost talking as if they're a rogue police department that she doesn't have any control over. That's an unanswered question. I believe what this requires is a special prosecutor. It's got to be a Fed. It can't be from the state. Joyce works for the state. And I'm not saying that Joyce Dudley's done anything wrong. There's no evidence of that at this point, nor is there any evidence that J.C. Hunter has done anything wrong. But what I'm asking, what I think as a citizen first and a journalist second, is that a federal prosecutor should come in and sort through, get to the truth. What's the downside in doing that? And, you know, Mrs. Capps, the most important thing she could do is to just be transparent. It's one of the hallmarks of President Obama's presidency, transparency, or at least he said it was. And she's an important member of his party. And, you know, clearly the president has also been very supportive of veterans and veterans' rights. Raymond was a decorated veteran. He did yeoman service for his country with in Iraq and with Mrs. Capps. And he's been left to twist in the wind, you know, for all practical purposes. From what I understand, Daryl Janus has basically represented him pro bono, pretty much.
Yeah.
So his original lawyer, Sam Eaton, was going to charge $7,500 plus $1,000. He was introduced to him by Judge George Eskin. And then as soon as Mallory died, Eaton withdrew. So, and he had the public defender. And if Daryl hadn't stepped in, and by the way, none of the real details of what happened, Raymond would not have been able to talk about those if Daryl hadn't encouraged him to tell the truth.
And it sounds like ultimately he did, which Matt dies must be heartening again that Raymond finally told the truth.
I haven't found forgiveness for Mr. Merule. Some understanding, have gained some respect. He's been more honorable than anybody else connected with that office.
I'm going to have to stop you right there. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with the Voice of Santa Barbara right after this. This is the Voices of Santa Barbara program with Scott Stapleton at KZSB AM 1290. I'm here with Matt Dyes, father of Mallory Dyes, Peter Lance, investigative journalist. Matt, going into our last break, I horribly cut you off. Sorry about doing that. I want to go back to that point that you were making there. You haven't found forgiveness.
Well, what I was saying, to reiterate, is that while I haven't found forgiveness for Mr. Marua, I do have some understanding, and I have gained a little respect for him because he's the only one from his CAPS office who's shown any honor at all. Everybody else there just seems to want to protect and save their own skin. Coming out of the court, Peter asked me a question, and I didn't have a ready answer for it. He asked me, what would you say if you could speak to Lois Capps right now? And I was caught a little off guard, and I hadn't really thought about that. So I thought about it a little bit, and actually what I came up with was Zola and the Dreyfus affair. J'accuse. I accuse. I accuse you of being heartless. I accuse you of denying responsibility where you are responsible. I accuse you of not being who you purport yourself to be. I'd like to see you do the right thing.
Boy, put that on Raymond. What would you say to Mr. Marua?
Mr. Marua, what you did is the most horrible thing that's ever happened to me in my life. I respect the service you gave to our country. I don't know if the demons inside you were relevant to your service or it's something that you carried with you into the military. I wish you had gotten the help that you had needed before this happened. Obviously, alcohol had control over you. I think it's a shame that your employer, the United States government, sent you over and over again driving to places where alcohol was the social lubricant and then put you out on the road. This could have happened to somebody else's child. Unfortunately for me and for my family, this happened to our beautiful daughter, Mallory.
And she has a little brother.
Yeah.
How's Michael doing?
You know, Scott, it's all, quoting Stuart Scott, we're day to day. We're all day to day. You know, some days are less horrible than other days, but they're all really rough.
Is that really all that you can hope for, you know, at this point? Or
You know, I've talked to dear friends that have lost children. And I remember Chris Shaw saying he lost his son, Kevin, at 25 to brain cancer. Kevin was a lot like Mallory, Stanford grad, smart, super popular, tons of friends. And he said, you know, Matt, I'm not going to lie to you. I think of Kevin every day, and I'm sad every day, and it's been 23 years for Chris. So this isn't going away. I would say the toughest day that I had so far was Valentine's Day, or as we like to call it, Malentine's Day. And, you know, the daddy-daughter relationship. And I don't think I sobbed since the hospital as hard as I did on the morning of Valentine's Day. Her boyfriend, Landon, was staying with us for a few days then, and he tried to think of something to help me. And so you know what we did? We went, got cupcakes and fruit punches, and went to where my wife is a teacher, and we brought the kids a little Valentine celebration. And by bringing some joy to somebody else, I think that helped me feel a little better and feel a little bit of Mallory in me. And I think that's maybe where I personally come from with Val for Mal too, is only by helping others can I help to heal myself. So I think that's very important.
Maybe every day should be Valentine's Day, huh?
I like that sentiment very much, Scott. I think I'm going to run with that.
Peter, we have a couple more days of your series.
Yeah, and by the way, I just people should know that that if they're not a subscriber to the News Press, which they should be, by the way, and I want to, I think this is like my 22nd article or so I've done since 2010, and the News Press has always been 100% supportive. But go to peterlance.com, P-E-T-E-R-L-A-N-C-E.com, and you can read all the articles as they appear.
And also go to vowformal.org, V-O-W, the number formal.org, and donate to the fund to help folks not end up like Matt Dye's daughter Mallory Dye's ended up. I'm Scott Stapleton. Thank you for listening to the Voices of Santa Barbara at KZSB AM 1290, and we wish you all the best today and always.